Welcome back to another episode of Swings and Mishes with Craig Mish. I am your producer, Jeremy Taché. And Craig, it's nice to talk to you this morning.
Yeah, it's good to do another episode, and we've had a lot of fun in the first couple, and I really appreciate everyone who has participated and downloaded and listened to us, and we'll continue to do this through the end of the baseball season, and then, of course, October, we'll do different episodes, maybe cover some of all of Major League Baseball in the postseason, take a little break, and then, of course, we'll have the winter meetings. I'm hoping to be in Las Vegas for that, so that should be a lot of fun, and we'll touch on some of the future potential players, who could get extensions, who could be traded, who could be let go. So I'm hoping to be there. But either way, whether I'm there or not, I'll cover it. That's for sure.
We'll jump right into what we've got going on with the Marlins now here in the month of September. Sandy Alcantara has been called back up. Lewis Brinson has been called back up. A couple of names that maybe the casual fan doesn't know that have been called up are Jeff Brigham and Peter O'Brien. So, Craig, you know, with some of those names that, you know, I just brought up to you, what are your thoughts specifically on O'Brien and Brigham, you know, as we head here into the month of September, might see some more action from those guys?
Yeah, the month of September is really a tough indicator as to the value of a player, because outside of playing games against competitive teams, like we saw earlier this week against the Philadelphia Phillies, and, you know, they'll play the Pirates this weekend, they still have games against the Reds. They have teams that aren't going to make the postseason. So I tend, when it comes to September, to look at it as potentially positive or potentially negative, but I really don't make that much of it because of the opposition that they're going to be facing. And I think that the reason why Brigham and the reason why Peter O'Brien was called up is there's a couple of things in play. We'll start with O'Brien. O'Brien has been a very good minor league player for a long time. I don't know that we would have seen him had Cooper been healthy, had Prado been healthy. So he kind of got a call up by default. But I would also say this, what the organization has really proven now over the course of the year is they're going to reward players who are grinding it out and playing well and playing with a very high effort level. They're going to give them a chance at the big league level. And I think that that will apply also next year. So that being said, I don't know what O'Brien will be able to do. Don Mattingly, the manager of the Marlins, has made it pretty clear that when they're playing subpar opposition, they're going to give some of these young guys a look. And when they play against teams that are competitive and are headed toward potentially the postseason, they're going to put their best players on the field. O'Brien will have another nice opportunity here. It's a good story, of course, because he played ball at the University of Miami. But truth be told, every time he's been called up, the bell hasn't rung for him. And then when he goes back to the minors, he hits. So we'll just have to see what happens in this month of September. I don't see him as a big part of the Marlins' future, but it is intriguing to see somebody with that kind of power. And I do believe this offseason they're going to need someone. They're going to sign someone that has 30 home run power. You can't go into 2019 with no one on your club outside of JT Realmuto potentially hitting 20 home runs in a season. That ain't going to fly in any ballpark with any team. So a mercenary of some sort will have to be signed to come in and give them some power after they lost Bohr, and they'll probably let go of Dietrich. Brigham is more of an interesting case because I think that he has more of a chance to stick with this team. I think that you got to throw out his first start a little bit, but also understand that just because a player has had a really good minor league season doesn't necessarily mean that's going to translate to the big league level. And I saw some good spots for him the other day, but I also saw somebody that was very hittable. And unlike some of the other pitchers that we've seen at the big league level thus far, I'm not sure that the ceiling is as high for him as some of the others, and even some of the others that they have in the minor leagues, like Neidert and some of the other players they have there. So a good story for Brigham. He worked very hard to get himself to the big league level, and here he is, you know, pitching in the big leagues. And so he certainly has a lot to be proud of to getting to this point. But Jeremy, to be honest with you, I don't see him as a rotation piece in 2019. I don't know that he even factors into the future, but you do have to at least point to the Marlins and say they are rewarding players who have done a good job in the minors.
Right, and that's the big thing. You see guys actually have success at the minor league level and then get called up, not just rushed through the system thus far this year, where maybe in the past we saw some guys that were brought up that maybe weren't quite ready for the show. So it's nice to see guys that at least are in a position where they've had success at the minor league level and now are being brought up. One of the top prospects in the organization finally made his first start back after suffering injury and going back to the minor leagues, that's Sandy Alcantara. He came back and was lights out in his first start, 7 scoreless innings. And, you know, Craig, you said Brigham might not be a rotation piece going forward. Is Sandy Alcantara an ace? Like, where do you see Sandy Alcantara fitting into the Marlins' plans going forward?
I think he has the potential to be the best player that they acquired in all of the players that they got this offseason. The chance is there. It's been a strange kind of tale for him this year because I feel like he was held down in the minors longer than he probably should have been. I feel like he was ready earlier. The Marlins called up Pablo Lopez to pitch. They called up Richards, and they had some good results, a little bit of some mixed results at times. But I like both of those pitchers, and I like what I've seen from them. I thought Sandy should have been up sooner. Of course, the Marlins will never discuss service time like other teams will. We're going through it right now with Eloy Jimenez on the White Sox. They're not calling him up. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., they're not calling him up. And I don't know that I would put Sandy in that same category in terms of value, Jeremy, but I think there's probably something to be said for that. And he did have a very strange and bizarre injury where he was shaving under his armpits. And why he did that in the past or does that, I don't know. I can't recommend that, but that's what happened. And he ended up cutting himself or whatever it was, and it created a big, huge problem. And then he, you know, had some velocity issues or whatever in the minor league. So let's just put all that behind at this point and recommend to Sandy that he not shave his pits anymore and just go out there and just let things happen and let things breathe. But he was phenomenal the other night, and he was great. You know, the 4-seam fastball was fantastic. He was a 2-seamer as well. He was working 3 and 4 pitches, and he did it, Jeremy, against a really good lineup in Philadelphia. His ERA in this 2 starts that he's made at the big league level is under 1. I mean, Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer, you know, Chris Sale. I can't put Sandy in that category yet to say he's an ace and he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. But I think of all of the pitchers that we've seen this year, and even all of the position players, there's a player that looks like he has a lot of upside on this team. So I am hopeful that he gets an opportunity next year, let's say, to be the 2 or the 3 in the Marlins rotation to make 25, 30 starts, and then we'll really see what we have. That's a player, Jeremy, that I'm very high on going into next year. I like a lot of the other players that they have. Don't get me wrong. I don't like some. He is one player that I do think that was really nice to see. And if I'm putting my stamp on anything that I've seen in the last month, it hasn't been great. He's the one thing that I would say.
And going into the end of the year, as we've seen so many ups and downs with some of the players that were traded back for those key names we've talked about, Ozuna, Stanton, Gordon, Yelich, seeing Alcantara have this type of start and hopefully a great last month of the year is a nice, it's a nice space to be in as a Marlins fan to see that potential there. And like you said, if he can go into next year as a 2 or a 3, I mean, this rotation could be a pretty good rotation next year. I mean, there's no guarantees, but it'd be nice to see some of these guys, like you said, get 25, 30 starts.
Yeah, and you know, look, you don't know where he would fit in that rotation because they're going to have to make some decisions about their veterans. Dan Straley, who is going to join us in a little bit here for the podcast, will have to find out where, you know, he kind of fits in. Jose Urania as well. I could see, look, there is some potential, and Dan has pitched really well over the last month and a half, and it just showed you, you know, getting a little banged up in spring training, how that kind of affected his season. We'll talk to him about that.
Right.
But next year, at the beginning of the season, they could go with Urania again at 1 or Australia again at 1, Urania 2 or mix and match, and then have a competition to see the best 3 pitchers fill out the rotation. I don't think Caleb Smith will be ready, as we talked about last week.
Right.
But then you have Sandy, you have Pablo, you have Richards, and who knows? Look, he's taking a step back a little bit. And then you have Chen, who's pitched very well at home. There's nothing wrong with having 6 or 7 guys ready because the Marlins are going to go through 10 again next year.
Right. And I mean, there's always injuries. So it's nice to have a deep pitching staff for what feels like the first time in, I mean, years with this organization. Speaking of some of those players like Alcantara that the Marlins brought back in trades, Lewis Brinson's back up and he's been playing a little bit better since he was called back up to the Marlins here on September 1st. You know, been a few days here now, a few games. Lewis Brinson, the Marlins have seemed to have softened their you know, hardline stance on Brinson. Mish, what are you hearing in regards to Brinson, his future with the club, and how he needs to play to prove his worth to this club?
It's a little strange that they're going to use September as a barometer, but they really haven't had anything else to judge outside of April, May, and into June. So I guess they're going to go off a month of time, which isn't really the smartest thing to me, in my opinion, because, again, September baseball isn't a great indicator. He has played better, for sure. He's made more contact, at least in the early going, for sure. But, Jeremy, the one thing that I got to say regarding him, and I don't know if it's the manager or organizationally, he's now getting on base a little bit more, and they're still not running him. Like, this was a part of his game that I think is vital to Brinson because, look, if he's going to be a 240, 250, and he's not there yet, but let's assume 240, 250 batter with a 320 on base at the big league level, some of that of him getting the second base is going to have to be stealing. And I thought that that was a huge part of the reason why they acquired him in his game, and he still is not really doing that. I'm not putting that on him, but that's just something that I'd like to see over the next month. Your team's 25 games under 500 or 20, whatever it is. When a guy gets on first base with that kind of speed, I got to let him go and just see what he can do. So that's something that I'm really keeping an eye on in the final months of the season. The Marlins haven't run a ton. In fact, they haven't run almost at all outside of right before they traded Maben. They figured, oh, let's start running him a little bit so other teams can see him run. And then he started stealing all these bases. That's something right. that I want to see from Brinson. I'm not going to put a huge judge on what I see here in September, but it is good to see that the organization is basically saying that he's going to have to earn a job in September of this year for next year. I do think, Jeremy, that next spring training, and even though that's not a great barometer either, I think he'll have to earn it. And if he does, he'll be the opening day starter in center field again. And if not, I think that he's got to go to, as it turns out, Wichita, which is the Marlins' new AAA right. affiliate, which was just announced, not New Orleans. So that'll be for another podcast. We'll figure out exactly what's going on there. But it does appear the Marlins will play their AAA season next year in Wichita, not New Orleans.
Right. And I'm sure Lewis Brinson would rather spend his year in Miami than Wichita. And it, like you mentioned with Brinson in terms of stealing bases, I just like to see if he's a natural base stealer, because there's guys with speed and then there's guys that can steal bases. And we don't really, I mean, the organization might know, but you and I not getting to watch him actually attempt it, we don't know whether or not he's a base stealer or he's just an athlete. So like you said, now's the time to unleash every part of everyone's game and just see what can be successful at the major league level.
Yeah, it is. And the team is not hitting home runs. So right. how are you going to manufacture runs for the next 3 weeks? There's nothing wrong with allowing us to see that. So the excuse before, which was a fair one, which is what, you know, you can't steal first base. That's fair. He hadn't been on mm-hmm. first base a lot, but he's been on first now like a half a dozen times. And I don't think that he's attempted one since he's been back. I'm not 100% sure of that, but I don't think he has. I saw him like take off the other night and then, you know, kind of go back. Look, the team is going to be hard pressed in 2019 to have three or four guys that can hit 30 home runs. Why not incorporate some of the running a little bit if you can? And I feel like that's part of the equation for Brinson. It may not be 80% of his game, but it's definitely 20 or 30%. And a good example of a player that you're talking about, and he doesn't obviously have the skill set of the World Series MVP in George Springer, but George Springer has a lot of speed. He's just not a great base dealer.
Right.
And Brinson could be a great base dealer, but I don't know. And I haven't seen it, and he hasn't attempted it. And until he does, we simply won't know.
Moving from the younger guys on this team to some of the veterans, unfortunately, Martin Prado is out for the rest of the season. He and Wei-Yin Chen are owed $37 million next season. And so the Marlins are going to start there with those two players. Craig, what do the Marlins do about these two contracts? I mean, Chen's
nothing,
better at
nothing.
Home.
Nothing. They're stuck with him. That's it. Prado's a great guy, but he's been unable to stay healthy. Chen, even as well as – and he's pitched fantastic at home and really good in the second half, but still, in order for him to have any kind of value, he's going to have to pitch very well in April, May, and June, and they're going to be teams that are going to be nervous about him in terms of injury. So they are stuck with that $37 million, and they'll have to start there, which is why I firmly believe that the real year that you'll start to see players signed and even potential progress is going to be 2020. I think next year is one of those years, and I know fans aren't going to want to hear it, but again, when you're saddled with that, and it's not this regime's fault, it's what happened in the past, but it is part of the story. when you start off with $37 million with those two players, and those two players don't have the last name of Anderson or Real Muto or somebody else, you just got to eat it. And I think that that's part of where their payroll will be next year. You start off there, you add another $50 million amongst 23 players. It's not a lot for a team that's probably going to be maybe a little bit better than next year, but there's a chance that we're kind of looking at the same thing that we saw this year.
Right. So 2020 is the year to look for fans.
Probably so. Yeah.
And one of the players that will hopefully be back with the Marlins next year is Dan Straley, and we're going to talk to him right now.
You know, Jeremy, I cannot wait. It's this Sunday. It is the NFL, and it is go time for betting. No doubt about it. I think it's obvious at this point everyone bets on sports, okay? Everyone does it. A lot of people that are listening to this, of course, are from South Florida. The line right now on betdsi.com. The Dolphins are getting 1.5 at home against the Titans. No faith in the Dolphins going into the season. But if you're going to bet the games this weekend, you got to do it like I do it. You go to betdsi.com. You enter the promo code SWINGS101. And BetDSI, they're going to match your deposit to help you get started with some extra bang for your buck. BetDSI, they're offering double your money on your first deposit. That's right. You deposit to start winning. You get up to $2,500 for free. That's double your money right there from the get-go. You know me. I love talking about the lines and the spreads. In fact, if you want to know my pick for the weekend, you want to make some money, here's what you do. You take the Broncos -2.5 against Seattle. In college, I like the over in the South Carolina-Georgia game. I think it's at 56.5 right now on BetDSI. That's just a couple of the bets that I'm going to make this weekend. Five Reasons Podcast, our official sponsor to wager, is BetDSI.com. What are you waiting for? Enter promo code SWINGS101. Get down on it this weekend. You can also join the Sharp Survivor Pool. You do those Survivor Pools in the past. BetDSI.com has you covered there for just $250. It carries you all season long. All you got to do is pick the winner each week. BetDSI.com. Place your bets right now. All right, thanks very much, Jeremy. We are here with Marlins pitcher Dan Straley joining us now here on Swings and Mishes. I can confirm Dan is still a member of the Miami Marlins. So we are excited to have him on and talk about his season, talk about everything else going on. And Dan, first and foremost, congratulations. I know it's been a really good couple of starts here over the last month, really, as a matter of fact. And not only that, but I want to start off actually and talk about the charity that you started at the beginning of the season and how you and your wife, Amanda, got involved in that. If you wouldn't mind expanding on that a little bit and how that's been going.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife and I were looking to some format to kind of give back. And we ran into Adam Wainwright at spring training. Luckily, our complexes, we share one with him. And he invited us over to his house and talked to us about what he does through his Big League Impact Foundation. And basically, he just showed us like all these different options of a way to get started giving back. And we chose a pledge a campaign where we pledged $40 per strikeout of mine this season. And we got other people jumped in and they started pledging per strikeout. And we were able to build a baseball field in a very small community in the Dominican Republic. But we also were able to give them a well where that was put right next to the baseball field to also give this community a source of water. And then we're going to take the rest of the proceeds that we have raised, because we've those two projects, the original project was just the baseball field. We got that done really quickly. We got the well done next. We're going to take the rest of it and apply it to a foundation that is deals with some more childhood cancer stuff and research out. Supporting it. It's called the Scott Firefighter Stair Climb, which is a big fundraiser that is done out in Seattle every once a year.
And you can donate to Dan Straley's foundation here. This is the Big League Impact Foundation, Striking Out for Poverty. Pledgeit.org/Straley. Now, Dan, from what I understand, your wife is or was a softball pitcher. And I heard that she could throw pretty hard, too, back in the day. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it is. Way back in the day, back in high school, she was finishing up high school. I was in college. I'd come home, and I would actually be her catcher during the winter break. Just kind of how it kind of worked out back before we were started dating. It was we were friends for a really long time, and so it was just kind of the way it worked out back then. But yeah, she did. She went and played a year of college softball, and then realized that, you know, she wanted to be a nurse more than she wanted to be a softball player. So she went that route and got a science degree and then a nursing degree. But yeah, she definitely she has way more strikeouts at our high school than I ever could dream of having.
Any intimidation there going getting to the big leagues? I mean, here
she lets me know every now and then that she struck out way more people than me in high school, but that's a little unfair. She got to pitch 200 innings a year in high school, so she had a little advantage there.
Yeah, for sure. Dan, so let me see if I got all of this right here as we close out the season. You pitched in Vancouver, Kane County, Stockton, Midland, Sacramento, Iowa, Fresno, the A's, the Padres. I don't think you ever pitched for them. The Cubs, the Astros.
That's a spring training game.
Oh, a spring training. Okay, the Cubs, the Reds, the Astros, if I mention them, and the Marlins. And so it's been, an interesting career for you so far. I mean, you've really got to see the country at the very least, right? I mean, it's been fun.
Yeah, we definitely checked off a lot of different places off the list. And, it's weird. So you don't just get to play in those cities, but then you get to play in all the cities and the leagues that those are in. And oddly enough, though, all the time I spent with the two different or three different AAA teams that I only ever – played in the PCL, and I never went to Nashville and Memphis, and I'm okay with that, where I'm at in life, I'm okay with that, but it's kind of weird that all the places I got to go, those are two places I didn't get to go.
Have you ever felt comfortable somewhere it's just kind of weird. I don't think any Major League Baseball player ever feels completely comfortable unless they're signing one of those, Stanton 10-year deals, and then meanwhile he was traded too. Have you ever been in a place and been okay, good. I'm going to be here for a while. Is this the place? Are the Marlins the spot so far?
I think, so far, this has been, I've made more starts in a Marlins uniform than any other uniform I've ever put on, at the big league level. And so, this is where this right now, that would have to be the answer. My wife and I were coming back from the DC road trip. She even made mention that she thought she was going home, and that was kind of the, it was true. She was just decided to get back home. And instead of decided to get back to Miami, she chose the word home. And it's really kind of become that for us. And when I first got here, I was a fish out of water, no pun intended with that. Mm-hmm. But a boy from Eastern Oregon, kind of not really fitting in South Florida to, just kind of understand getting the lay of the land. And this year's been a lot different, moved into a different neighborhood this summer, and have really, really just enjoyed the being in South Florida a lot more. And, a lot of times, as soon as I feel that way, my baseball career takes a turn, but that's not up to me. I've learned that a long time ago, and I've learned just to, just get comfortable where you're at and, just have a lot of fun there and just, buy into wherever you're at. And it makes life a lot better that way.
Now, I know in Oregon, you had mentioned to me the other day that you have a really famous neighbor. I know football season is coming, so I'm wondering if you could go to that neighbor and get fantasy football advice from the former quarterback that lives near you. I mean, is that something that you could pull off?
Yeah. Oh, he's more into wine now, as we talked about, but there's a couple guys in town between, then there's also two brothers, the Hollister brothers, from the Patriots. They also work out at the same gym where Kevin Boss is our strength coach at. And so there's definitely a little bit of football in the neighborhood back there with, Bledsoe, leading the way name wise. And then Kevin Boss not too far behind him.
Do you ever get starstruck by anyone, Dan, at this stage of your career? A lot of first pitches at Marlins Park were really interesting this year. They had a lot of stars there. But do you ever, through all the years, baseball, football, you see a guy and you're like, wow, or a woman, and you're like, wow, I never thought I'd meet this person. Has it ever happened?
It's happened, but it hasn't happened in a while because you kind of realize pretty quickly that they're really good at something, or they have something, they're some really cool skill, or really – just really famous for this or for that. But at the end of the day, you start realizing that they're all people, and that they're all just kind of, chasing the same thing in life, and just happiness, success, whatever those mean to you. And you just kind of, you see things differently a little bit in that light. But there's it's odd enough. The first time that I was actually met Jeter, my boss, the first time I actually met him here, it was a little bit that way. And it wasn't really quite how I would feel that way, but he's definitely one of those guys as a kid that you just kind of grew up just watching, and he's the face of baseball for so many years that you just really, he's kind of this icon. And I think it's when you meet those icons, for me, is when I get a little bit starstruck still.
Now you led the National League in starts last year with 33, and then you got off to a start this year because of the injury that I'm sure that you look back and kind of wonder how that all went down. Do you feel like that really caused the struggles at the beginning of the season because you didn't really have an end to the spring training and a beginning to April? Is that factored in, you think?
Yeah, it was a very odd beginning to the season, for sure. And I think all that kind of stuff plays in. You know, it's usually one of those things that in the moment you don't really have time to kind of figure it out. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to figure it out. You'd just be able to make adjustments on the fly and keep going. But you're constantly trying to piece together the end of spring training for me. And, you know, my kind of end of spring training ended up being in, you know, Daytona and Jupiter and in Tennessee, you know, with a couple of rehab starts. And so I wasn't able to, kind of have that end of spring training. But, you know, luckily it's baseball and everything kind of, you know, comes back around and evens itself out and all, you know, all those other cliche things. But was able to get through those struggles early, basically. And for me, it was more than anything, I was just walking way too many hitters early. And that was something that was kind of, you know, without diving too far into it, the numbers I feel like was uncharacteristic. But, you know, it was just kind of a part of the story of my season this year. And that's one thing also I've learned in this game is that every year is way different. And so you're going to have a different story every season to tell. And this year has just been a little bit different than the ones in the past for me.
Yeah, and you've had two dominating starts. You've dominated the Braves, by the way, all season long. And I know a team claimed you, tried to get you, but the Marlins basically said no. So last one for you, Dan. You know, this is going to be another interesting offseason, I think, for the Marlins and for you as well. You know, what have you seen this year? Like, what has it been like inside that clubhouse this year, kind of watching things progress from the beginning of the season? And would you like to be back here next year and pitch for the Marlins again?
Yeah, it's been a season. You know, we started off, you know, I think feeling pretty good about ourselves. You know, at the first couple weeks of the season, they definitely felt like we were a better team than, you know, being noticed for, being written about type of thing. But then, you know, after a while, we started realizing that guys who had never played up here all the time started realizing it was a little harder than they realized day in and day out, physically, mentally, just everything that goes along with it. And so there's just been ups and downs, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of talented guys here, and it's definitely not a flip of a switch to start the winning ways, as you've seen pretty much anywhere. And so, yeah, I mean, I would love to be back here. That's something that I, you know, I've always you know, hoped and prayed for my career is consistency and being in the same spot. And that hasn't changed at all by becoming a member of the Miami Marlins. That's still something that I still want to be. And I still hold on to is the concept that Dallas Keuchel told me a couple of years back, how much more winning the World Series basically meant to him after going through like the struggles of seeing that team for, you know, struggle for as long as they did. And then to still be there when they won was just how much sweeter that would taste. And so I would love to be here when this team hopefully raises the World Series trophy.
Well, you know, that's the path that the Marlins have chosen to go for sure. Hopefully you'll be a part of it, Dan. You can donate to Dan's charity this season for striking out poverty, pledgeit.org/Straley. Hey, Dan, thanks so much for spending some time with me. I always love catching up with you. And if we don't talk before the off season, have a good off season, healthy off season in Oregon, and we'll catch up again soon. Thanks again.
Sounds good. Take care. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you.
Here at the Five Reasons Sports Network, we don't have the typical staff meetings where everybody is staring at the wall and the clock. We do them at bars, we do them at restaurants, and we do them at Soccer Zone Indoor. That's the corner of Miramar Parkway and Flamingo Road in Miramar. Beautiful new facility. And on Wednesday, September 12th, we have an indoor field from 7:30 to 9 p.m. It is a beautiful pitch, as my co-host Chris Whittingham would say. It's air-conditioned, no mosquitoes, so no complaining. And here's how you sign up for it. You've got to be a patron of the Five Reasons Sports Network, and that's really easy. Go to @5ReasonSports, that's the number 5 Reasons Sports, and just go to the link in our bio. Click on that and sign up. It's $3 for September. We've lowered the price for September. Show up there at Soccer Zone Indoor. Again, 7:30 p.m. Wednesday the 12th, corner of Miramar Parkway and Flamingo, and just show us that you signed up, and you'll be eligible to make us look absolutely ridiculous on the soccer pitch. So look forward to seeing you at Soccer Zone Indoor, September 12th.
Thanks again to Dan Straley for joining us. Always a nice conversation with Dan. And Craig, you know, to wrap up here, a fun tweet, a tweet that got a lot of interaction was sent out by you earlier this week on something that has been a hot and cold topic here in Miami, and that is the Miami Marlins home run sculpture. What are you hearing in regards to the future of the home run sculpture, Craig?
Yeah, I mean, I've asked a lot of people about this. I've heard a lot of comments, and while nothing is confirmed, and I'll give the Marlins the opportunity certainly to make their own announcement with this one, I don't want to be sending Jeremy a drone over Marlins Park all offseason waiting to see if this is going to happen or not. But, you know, there's been mixed reaction, it looks like, on social media to this. It looks like, for me, from the outside looking in with some of the national people, they feel like that this was something that they should keep. But I just think that locally, if you're a fan of the Marlins, and regardless of how you feel about that sculpture or not, that's an ode to the past regime. It really is.
Right.
You know, I'll give you my opinion on it. I think it should go. I think that it was maybe cool a little bit at the beginning. You know, I have a young son who goes to the games, and he thinks it's cool when it goes off, but you know, they have a bigger issue internally in the ballpark, which is getting young kids involved. And I know they had a press conference about that a couple of weeks ago. Chip Bowers talked about that. I think getting young kids and young fans involved in that park is a huge deal for what the Marlins are building, because the young kids, Jeremy, don't care about the names on the back of the jersey. They care right. about having a good time at the ballpark. But that thing is not going to make a difference one way or the other. And I've seen enough of it. I think it's time for a change there, too. I think that you want to erase as much as possible as to what happened over the last 20 years. And most players and most people agree it's not a pretty piece of artwork. It was Jeffrey Luria's. He was a fan of it. It seemed cool at the beginning. But for me, the overwhelming majority of people would rather see it go. And I do think that, in my opinion, based on what I've heard in the organization, I think it will be gone in the offseason. And I don't know what else will be there. There's been a lot of really interesting suggestions, that's for sure.
Right.
I don't know how they're going to approach this or what they would put there. But I do think that sometime between the end of the year and opening day next year, something else will be there.
Definitely a giant pool with a water slide with a DJ. Pitbull's there every day, DJ Khaled. Yeah, that
makes sense.
That's what it's going to be, right? Miami.
It makes sense. Look, the Marlins are not this organization, this new organization, and the new way that they're doing things. They're not going to go, you know, 80% or 90% in on this and change everything and the culture and the players and the team and the way that they're running things and being transparent with comments and interviews. And also attendance, and then leave that thing out in the outfield? No, come on. I mean, read between the lines here a little bit. I'm not saying anything that anybody doesn't know. It's going to be gone, and good riddance. It had its nice little run. Then they'll find something else out there. Look, the Brewers have a thing where the guy hits a home run, then the Bernie slides down. You know, put Billy the Marlin out there or something. I just, you know, erasing the past is part of the Marlins' future. And I think to leave that there just wouldn't make a lot of sense.
That's a nice little tagline you got there. All right. Well, that's it for the third episode of Swings and Mishes. Thank you to everyone for listening. Be sure to download and subscribe. And also be sure, as we head into week one of the NFL season, to work with BetDSI, our promo code Swings101. Thanks, Craig.
Yeah, and thanks again to Dan Straley for coming on again. If you want to donate to his Pledge for Poverty, pledgeit.org/Straley. Dan's one of the good guys in the game and on the Marlins. And thanks again, Jeremy, to you for doing this with me today. Look forward to next week.
Yes, sir.